We're talking with Dr. Paul Conant. I've known Paul for a number of years as a chemistry professor at St. Lawrence and very active. One of the real people worldwide who stopped garbage incinerators and then was quite active for many years around the issue of not putting fluoride, toxic, into a water system. But more recently, a neighborhood issue in outside of Binghamton where he lives has popped up. This idea about a lithium battery facility, allegedly recycling, but a lot of burning is involved. So, Paul, can you describe to people what, in fact, is being proposed out in Endicott?
Well, strictly speaking, it is a recycling plant, or half a recycling plant. It's what I call half green and half dirty brown. The green part is that the company, Sungeal, from South Korea, is extracting, reclaiming some of the valuable and strategic metals in the batteries, the lithium-ion batteries, and they are being sent back to South Korea. That's the green part. The dirty brown part is that they're using a high temperature and burning process. Two steps: the dismantled batteries, the cells of the lithium-ion batteries, are fed into a rotary kiln operating at 600 degrees centigrade, and then the gases produced are burnt in an afterburner, and that last two, those two steps constitute an incinerator, in my view. And it's very worrying because this particular incinerator is going to be put right close to where people live. Just people are living right across the road from this in Endicott, and kids are playing baseball right up to the property fence of the facility. It's absolutely preposterous. It assumes that everything is going to work properly all the time, all the air pollution control equipment. There are going to be no accidents, no releases, and so on, because if there are, people will immediately be impacted.
Now, you know, lithium, of course, has become quite, important in a lot of high-tech production, I guess, iPhones and possibly computers, but it's also a fairly toxic chemical, is that correct?
Well,
or material?
It's not the lithium, Mark, so much as the fluorinated compounds. That's what's the real problem here. These batteries contain a polymer called polyvinylidene difluoride, which is like saran wrap with fluorine instead of chlorine. It contains a PFAS, a polyfluorinated alkyl substance in the electrolyte. And it also uses, in some batteries, there are many different designs of these lithium-ion batteries, but some use lithium hexafluorophosphate. Now, these three substances, when you heat them up to high temperatures, and then when you burn them, you go from some of the most stable substances used in commerce. Polyvinylidene difluoride is rather like Teflon. It's extremely stable. But the moment you apply these high temperatures, you're going to produce the most reactive chemical species we know in chemistry. The most reactive chemical species is the fluoride atom, the fluorine atom. It's a radical, a free radical. That will attack everything, Mark. It will attack hydrogen. It will attack oxygen. It will attack all the carbonaceous materials and produce very, very toxic byproducts in the process. One in particular, hydrogen fluoride, is feared in the chemical industry. It is so toxic. And it's going to be produced in kilogram amounts per hour in this facility. They're processing 1 ton of lithium batteries an hour, and several kilograms of hydrogen fluoride will be produced. If there's any leak in the piping between the kiln and the afterburner, and then even after the afterburner, those workers in the plant could be killed. So that's extremely serious. Then on the other hand, there are literally hundreds of fluorinated organic compounds that could be produced. And the problem with these things is they're so incredibly stable. And some of them will have the wrong shape and appear at the wrong time in our bodies. This is the problem with PFAS, the polyfluorinated alkyl substances. These are what Linda Birnbaum the other day described as the dioxins of the 21st century. But they have one big difference from dioxins. Dioxins are highly persistent and they accumulate in our fat. They're fat soluble and our kidneys can't get rid of them. The perfluorinated alkyl substances are water soluble, but they also accumulate in our bodies. And to be honest, I'm not sure how, but I suspect that they attach to proteins and these proteins sequester them. But they are extremely persistent in the environment and in our bodies. And there have been some huge problems in New York State with contamination of water supplies by these substances, known as PFAS. And recently in a fire in Cohoes, an incinerator there that was burning fire retardant foam produced a large quantities of these materials. And hitherto, the DEC, when they gave an air permit to this facility, did not realize that there were PFASs in some of these lithium ion batteries. They're there in the electrolyte. So they could go, they're very stable to heat. This is the real problem. When you try to burn them, they go straight through the system. And the temperatures that they are proposing to use in this facility, 800 degrees Celsius, is not enough to destroy PFASs. The company has actually admitted that on May the 7th, that they're going to have to run the facility at 1,000 degrees, not 800 degrees Celsius. Again, you know, they shouldn't be learning these things on the spot. They should know this before they set out to do it. It's not the kind of experiment that we should be doing in a community like Endicott.
Now, are there other processes that have been developed to, you know, recycle lithium that doesn't involve this burn operation?
Yes, precisely. They divide the processes used for recycling lithium ion batteries into two groups. One group is called pyrometallurgical. These are high temperature processes like the Sungeal process proposed for Endicott. Then there are hydrometallurgical processes. These are processes which use at room temperature, no heat, no burning involved. At room temperature, they use fairly mild chemicals to leach out the metals that they need, the cobalt, the manganese, the nickel, and the lithium. Aqueous media like citric acid, you know, in fruit, in oranges and lemons, citric acid, ascorbic acid, vitamin C. So fairly mild leaching agents to get the metals that they want.
Now, I understand that the state has actually, you know, provided funding to this facility. It has not required an environmental review so far and actually signed off on its air permit for the facility without a lot of technical review or data. So in the 2 minutes we got left, you know, what are you trying to get the state to do at this point, and how can people, you know, participate in this process if they're interested?
Well, I think the state should recognize that any facility like this is preposterous in Endicott. That's already been poisoned. People are already dying of cancer from the last operation there from IBM. They shouldn't be exposed again to more toxics. But this particular facility has had very shoddy, is the parent plant in South Korea, has had very shoddy monitoring. They only collected a 4-hour sample of dioxins and have used that to extrapolate to an annual emission, even though we know that dioxin emissions can vary by a factor of 1,000. It could be 1,000 times more than they have said from this one single test. There are 4-week monitoring systems available. They're used widely in Europe. That's what we need on this facility, not only to monitor the dioxins, but to also monitor the polyfluorinated alkyl substances.
Okay, and if people want to get more information about this facility, I understand you have a website up?
Yes, it's called No Burn Broom, all one word, No Burn Broom. Broom is Broom County with an E, noburnbroom.com.
And they could probably contact our good friend Basil Sagos and Governor Cuomo. Hey, you should do a real environmental review of this project, I assume.
Yes, I don't think Andrew Cuomo, who's so busy with the COVID right now, has any idea of the anger that has been generated in Endicott and Broome County and even the Southern Tier pushing this facility on Endicott. He probably thought it was a good idea at the time, but now he needs his aides to study it more carefully and study the chemistry I've been talking about.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Paul Conant, and this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.